A scripture reading from the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 7, verses 24 through 37. From there he set out and went away to the region of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know he was there. Yet he could not escape notice, but a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately heard about him, and she came and bowed down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile of Syrophoenician origin, and she begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. He said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." So she went home and found the child laying on the bed, and the demon was gone. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went by way of Sidon towards the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. They brought him a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to lay his hands on him. He took him aside in private, away from the crowd, and put his finger in his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And immediately his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Then Jesus ordered them to tell no one, but the more he ordered them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. They were astonished beyond measure, saying, "He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
I'm grateful to our brother in Christ, Wayne, for offering those words of truth this morning. Thank you, brother. And grateful also for what those words mean. Would you please join with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this day that you've given us. Thank you for how you're at work in our lives, and thank you for these words that fill us, that challenge us, and that stretch us. It's in the name of our Savior that we pray. Amen. Have you ever worked yourself up into a really, really good snit? You know what I mean by snit? Anybody here ever worked themselves in a really good snit? Yeah, and you kind of, you know, sometimes some people are in a snit, and it's good because you know they're in a snit. And so there's kind of a warning that they have, stay away, snit at work, okay? Snit in progress. And they kind of have this face all scrunched up. And what's interesting is the things that we work ourselves up into a snit over at times. Sometimes it's, maybe it's an important thing, but oftentimes it's something that really isn't important. In fact, I've seen people work themselves into snits over not being included in something. Not being included in something. The other person that was supposed to include them didn't know that they were interested. They weren't trying to exclude them at all, not even furthest. It was the furthest from their mind, furthest thing from their mind. And yet, that person felt that since they weren't included, well, they were going to be mad about it. Not being included is a bad feeling, though, isn't it? When we aren't included intentionally, when we're shut out, one of the most powerful things of this community, this very God community right here, is that the doors are open to all people. And everyone who walks in is going to be welcome, or is called to be welcome. That, my friends, is what the kingdom of God is all about. A banquet, a gathering of all of those, especially, who have been excluded in this world. It's a challenging thing to think about. Simply because we have power here and now doesn't give us more power in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is something that infuses with power, that strengthens, that heals. It's not about us, it's about God working in our lives. And God works in very surprising ways. Some of the most challenging words of Scripture were heard today. We might not want to think about them, but we must, because we can't simply pick and choose the parts of the Bible that we like, memorize those, and forget everything else. Those words that are challenging, that are confronting, and that are surprising are found in verse 27. He, Jesus, said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." But she, the Syrophoenician woman, answered him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." We don't want to think about our Lord and Savior, our namesake, saying these words. But it's recorded that he did, and so what do we do with them now? There are a lot of different explanations for this. And yet one of the most profound was one that came across my desk just the other day. It reminded me that Jesus was fully human as well as fully divine. That's our belief as Christians. And so why wouldn't it be the case that at times or from time to time, Jesus in his full humanity would react like a human does sometimes and exclude someone? In his full humanity also, he got tired. He got worn down. He was in a body. Anybody here ever get tired? Anybody here ever get worn down? Anybody here hear a new crack or creak whenever they get out of bed in the morning? Wasn't there yesterday. And so Jesus gets worn down. Jesus gets tired. And he was also seeking to be so focused on the gospel, on the message, or on the ministry that he was called to, excuse me, that all of those things, I believe, came together to guide what he shared with this woman. What he was saying is, the children, the chosen ones, are fed first. I am here to minister, to bring the good news to the Jews. And yet, this woman's response, in her diligence, in her seeking to approach this rabbi, this teacher, this healer, this preacher, and in her incredible power, was able to cause an epiphany to take place in our Savior and remind him that he was not simply there to bring the message to the Jews, but he was there to bring it to the entire world. Astounding, isn't it? Incredible to think of. At this moment, through someone that was on the outside, a woman, a Gentile, a non-Jew, coming in, Jesus was able to recognize and understand even more fully what he was to do. And at this point, the good news, the kingdom of God, is shared and spoken to the entire world. Everyone is to be included. Everyone. What does that mean for the church today? For us, it calls us to be bold, as this woman was, and to step forward. I mentioned earlier that we might not necessarily be equipped or feel prepared or ready. Well, you see, it's not about our power anyways. It's about the gifts that God fills us with. It's about how God encourages us and equips us. Not about what we come into this world with, but what God equips us with along the journey. That's what God will use. That's how God, in boldness, will work through us as well. Jesus does another healing then, doesn't he? Later on in that scripture, it says that they brought him a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech, kind of like I do this morning, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. And Jesus, in his healing, it's not a dramatic show. He doesn't go up and slap the guy on the forehead. It's not in front of a huge crowd or not televised or not a dramatic show at all, but rather it's more of a sigh. And he simply says, "Be opened." I can still sense, or in my reading of this, I can still sense that Jesus is weary, and yet he's willing to follow God. He's willing to trust God. He's willing to say, "God, work through me, use me in this place right now." You see, Jesus knew it was important because it wasn't simply about healing the physical and emotional and psychological problems that he was confronted with. Jesus' presence and his ministry was also about restoring the community and about healing fractures in the community. This woman who approached him, before she approached him in boldness, stepping forward, guided by God, I have to believe it, was outside of the community. And yes, her daughter needed healing, but after the healing, and that kind of becomes secondary, doesn't it? After the healing, now the community has become larger. She's part of it, and her daughter's part of it as well. After the healing, that man who had been impaired was now part of the community. For us, this morning, it's about building community and building upon what God has blessed us with here. It's about encouraging one another. It's about having ourselves be opened. We understand that the man who was healed, his ears were open, his tongue was released, and for us, we are opened every time we become vulnerable before God. This morning, community is being built here once again. In the sharing of gifts and talents, in the stewardship of our time, participating together in worshiping God, in an opening to God's word of healing and grace, and in this gift of communion that God has offered to us once again. I would invite the communion stewards to come forward at this time. We're going to change things around a little bit. We'll have our call of discipleship after our celebration of communion. So I invite the communion stewards to come forward at this time. In communion, God creates community. In receiving the body and blood of Christ, God builds not only us, but us together. And if there are any fractures in the community, if there's any brokenness at all, in communion, we offer those things to God, and he brings healing, and he brings newness, just as he healed in the story today. We understand that after this story took place, Jesus gathered with his friends, and he included all of them in this sacred moment because he wanted them to remember it. It was a small community around that table, But the word spread then about what took place in the words that Jesus offered. He said, "This is my body, not simply bread for your stomachs, but my body broken for you, offered for you. That as you receive this, you are filled by me. God is at work in your life to strengthen you for what he calls you to do in ministry." The body of Christ broken for the people of God. And you are the people of God. And after the supper, he poured out the cup. And as he was doing that, he said some remarkable things. He said, "This is not simply wine to quench your thirst. This is my blood shed for you, so that you no longer need to live in guilt, but rather know that as you come to me and seek a relationship with God through me, healing takes place and a new life starts. The blood of Christ shed for the people of God, for new life and community.